Hare Krishna. Morning, dear devotees. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. I should be able to make it through today. It was just a bad cold I had, but it was quite bad. And it was like, I felt like I was competing with Niagara Falls. And I couldn't control. And I took some medicines that were given by one doctor, homeopathic doctor, here in Mayapur. And I've been taking them continuously for the last 48 hours, and I seem to be able to I feel better, let's put it that way. And Prabhupada, a little different today. The devotee who has helped originally with my Prabhupada Murti, she's doing some other things on him now, and she gave me this while she's taking care of some other details. So if you're wondering why Prabhupada looks a little bit different, I think it's a different type of ecstatic symptom he's manifesting today that's making him look a little different. But we are reading Bihad Bhagavatamrita. I don't know how I'll do on japa. I do have a little hoarse throat, but no other symptoms, no fever, no body ache. I just cold. But we'll continue reading on Bihad Bhagavatamrita. And a cough. Volume 2, Chapter 4. Text, I believe 136, I believe. If somebody says anything different, doesn't seem to be anybody saying anything different, so I think I'm good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Gopakumar Uvacha Tatakan Apisiddhantam Svapragya Gocharanapi Aicham Tad Ananachotum Shotena Perito Hatat. Shri Gopakumar said, I then wanted to hear Narada explain from his own mouth certain philosophical conclusions about which I was already thinking. My ears were forcing me to do this. Commentary. Gopakumara feels relieved by what Narada has said thus far. In text 39 of this chapter, Gopakumara had proposed to explain later to his Brahmin student the reason for the extreme variety of appearances in Vaikuntha. With the help of Narada's instructions, Gopakumara has now done this. Now he wants to free the Brahmin from all doubts and misconceptions by enlightening him about the most priceless essence of Vaishnava philosophy, which Narada revealed when Gopakumara met him in Vaikuntha. Texts 136 through 235 narrate these further teachings. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unminitam Dhyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasiri Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The verse again, Shri Gopakumara said, I then wanted to hear Narada explain from his own mouth certain philosophical conclusions about which I was already thinking. My ears were forcing me to do this. In the beginning of the commentary, it is written that Gopakumara feels relieved by what Narada Muni has said thus far. I would like to, since there's only a few verses, and it will help me to also to focus where we are. I'm going to just go back those few verses and read them of what Narada Muni so far has told Gopakumara. We talked about how they were standing aside. Narada felt compassion towards Gopakumara and spoke to him in a soft voice. And he said, by a chain of logical reasoning, you have concluded that nothing is higher to achieve than this abode, and you are certainly correct. The truth cannot be other than this. Even so, you desire to see with your own eyes your worshipable Lord's pleasure pastimes that appear to you in meditation. You want to see those pastimes here in Vaikuntha and in full detail. Those pastimes give even the Lord himself the greatest pleasure. They enchant the heart, but only by a special kind of love can they be perceived. They are the most confidential mystery. One can approach them only with the highest degree of prema, like that of the residents of Raj. Surely those pastimes can never be seen by persons like me. In a certain world, somewhere above all others, that those pastimes are to be seen, enchanting the Lord's devotees, but by your bhakti for the Lord of the creation, you have come to Vaikuntha. How can you see those pastimes here? How can this greatest secret be revealed here in Vaikuntha, where the extreme limit of the Lord's all-powerful opulence is displayed? put aside all this lamentation and just see the divine master of Vaikuntha as the same Lord you cherish. Don't consider them two different persons. Then even here, your heart will be flooded with supreme happiness, unlimited and ever increasing. So that's what Narada has said so far. And Gopakumara feels relieved from what he has said, indicating that that he has understood that he very well may be in that place where he's been hankering for. And as we spoke about last time, Gopakumara fluctuates between this ecstasy, his happiness, of his awareness, of his presence in Vaikuntha with the Lord of Vaikuntha, and sometimes he fluctuates between the happiness and apparent distress and pain that he feels. So after hearing this from Narada Muni, now he's feeling great happiness, and also he's feeling relief that maybe this is the place, and this is the person, and this is the object of my meditation. And that's the relief that he's feeling. Gopakumara had proposed to explain later to his Brahmin student the reason for the extreme variety of appearances in Vaikuntha. With the help of Narada's instructions, Gopakumara has now done this. In other words, he has explained so far, and what he will continue to explain. And you can imagine, as it says right here, Narada Muni is going to reveal the most priceless essence of Vaishnava philosophy in Vaikuntha, to Gopakumara from texts 136 to 235, which are 100 verses. So there's a lot of explanation which will take place in those verses, a lot of detail. And as I explained previously, I've covered many of those verses in previous classes, specifically about the different varieties of forms in Vaikuntha, why they exist, and the different varieties which were described were from all different forms, from demigod forms, from forms of plants, of forms of animals, forms of reptiles, and forms of sages, forms of ascetics, all these different forms which are all manifest in Vaikuntha, and why there is such a variety of forms, and why do these varieties of forms which are manifest in Vaikuntha, why are they pleasurable to the Lord? And of course, in reading all of these details, one thing that we've spoken about before, and we will repeat it again, is that what Sanatana Goswami has done, in essence, he is giving us the full gamut of all the available relationships which are all pleasing to the Lord. Why should he exclude relationships which are pleasing to the Lord from his presentation in Brihad Bhagavatamrita? He has to include them because they are a description of pure devotional service. They are a description of not only pure devotional service, but in pure love. And not only that, but the Supreme Lord derives great pleasure of these different forms of devotional service and reciprocates with the devotees who love him in this way, in such a complete way that they don't want anything higher. Now, there's something to be said about that, and it's very important that if somebody is so satisfied, and if the Lord is pleased by their pure devotional service, they're so satisfied that they don't want anything higher, they don't need anything higher. They're always just joyful, and their ecstasies are ever increasing, which is the nature of love of God, then certainly these descriptions should be expanded upon. And they need to be expanded upon because there are different varieties of relationships which pure devotees have with the Lord. And I was just amazingly, as it oftentimes happens, I was listening yesterday to a lecture. I was listening to a lecture. Srila Prabhupada was speaking almost exactly on this point. And I wanted to read about it. I'll read it instead of playing it. I'll read it. But essentially, Prabhupada captured this point about a devotee's particular type of ecstatic love that he has for the Lord, why he has that particular type of the Lord of love for the Lord, and why the Lord is so disposed and so inclined to reciprocate that type of love, and it's in Vaikuntha. And he was specifically, although Prabhupada didn't speak about the devotee as Bhishma, although Prabhupada didn't speak about Bhishma achieving the destination of Vaikuntha, in the lecture I gave yesterday, I looked it up, and Prabhupada said, and he wrote in one letter, which I thought was interesting, he said that in a letter, he said, and your question about Bhishma Dev, after he left this planet, he went to Vaikuntha because he was an Narayan worshiper. In Bhishma's prayer, it is clear that he is a worshiper of four-handed Narayan. Although he knew that Narayan and Krishna are non-different, but his affection was for Narayan. Therefore, he entered the Narayan Loka. Prabhupada said that in a letter in 1968 to one devotee. I guess it was specifically a question about Bhishma Dev. And in this lecture that I was listening to yesterday, Prabhupada, well, I'll read it. I'll read it and then maybe I'll expand on it. But first, I'll read it first. It's not too long, but it's right on this point. So in this way, Krishna is existing. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, Purana, Purusham, Navayovanam Cha. By the way, this is in the... I'm still Prabhupada's lectures on Kapila Siksha, Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 26th chapter. This is verse 45. January 20th, 1975 in Bombay. But the original form is Krishna. Aham adhya hi devanam. That is original form. That form is existing in Vrindavan. And other forms, they are distributed. Goloka eva nivasati. Actually, Krishna is living in an original form in Goloka Vrindavan. This form, Krishna, Radha Krishna, this is the form in Goloka Vrindavan Venam Kvanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham. In the spiritual world, there's no such thing as killing the Kamsa, he says. Killing the Kamsa Hiranyakashipu. That is in the material world. Krishna is in 12 different varieties of taste: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, Bayanaka, Pibhatsa, Hasya, so many, 12. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is Krishna is worshipped there, that Akila Rasamrita. Akila. There are many kinds of taste, and that taste are all combined together in Krishna. Akila Rasamrita. In the Vedas, it is said, Raso Vaisa. Rasa means mellow. So we have presented a little book. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. Rasa means pleasure, taste, pleasing taste. Rasa, or humor. Everyone has got different taste. So all the tastes are there in Krishna. Raso Vaisa, Ludvanandi. Anyone who has tasted Krishna, he gets real taste of pleasure, either in this ras or that ras. Just like Bhishma. Bhishma was fighting with Krishna. He had no business fighting with Krishna because he's a charioteer. But sometimes the horses, the charioteer, also killed by the opposing party. So when Arjuna was in a very dangerous position, because Bhishma promised to Duryodhana, Duryodhana was criticizing his grandfather that you are not fighting wholeheartedly because your affection is there on the other side, your other grandsons, Pancha Pandava. Therefore, you're not fighting with your full strength. So this is great insult for Kshatriya. So he promised to kill the 5 Pandavas next day. That was a challenge to Krishna. So Krishna promised that he will not fight in the battle. And Bhishma promised that unless Krishna fights and protects his friend Arjuna, he could not be saved. I will fight in that way. So he was fighting in that way. And Arjuna's chariot became broken into pieces, and he was in danger. And Krishna could understand that Bhishma wants me to fight on account of Arjuna, otherwise he would not be saved. So to please Bhishma, not that it was necessary to fight with Bhishma, but because Bhishma wanted that either Krishna must fight or his friend Arjuna must die, therefore Krishna decided not to. He could save his friend Arjuna in any way. But in order to show Bhishma that, yes, he is fighting, he has broken his promise. He promised that he would not fight. But Bhishma promised that either he should fight or his friend would die. So therefore he prepared to fight. But superficially, he did not take his original disc. He took only one broken wheel of the chariot. And taking it, he was going to kill Bhishma just to show him. You promised that I would fight? So now I have taken this fighting weapon. Now you can stop. In other words, Prabhupada saying, Krishna says, you promised that I would fight? Okay, now I have this weapon. Now you can stop. Otherwise, you'll be killed. So he stopped. He could understand. But while Krishna was coming to kill him with that broken piece of wheel, that was very pleasing to him, to Bhishma. At that time, Bhishma was piercing with sharpened arrows the body of Krishna. So he was pleasing. He was feeling very pleasure being pierced by the arrow of Bhishma. So bhakti transaction, Prabhupada calls it a bhakti transaction. There are many kinds of bhakti transaction. In that time of Bhishma's death, he was thinking of Krishna in his fighting spirit. He was coming to kill him. That is in Bhishma's prayer. There is in the Bhagavata. There it is in the Bhagavata. He was not thinking of Krishna with flute. He was thinking of Krishna with a broken chariot wheel and was coming to kill him. That form was very pleasing to him. So we can reciprocate all kinds of rasas, humor, because he is the reservoir of all rasas. So this is the rasa of chivalry, the fighting spirit. So everything is there. Jamadhyasya yataha. The absolute truth is that where all varieties are there, variety. Although he is one, but still varieties are there. Otherwise, where from the varieties come? Everything, all varieties. You see in the material world how many varieties are there. You take one bunch of flower, you will find, if you study minutely, how many hundreds and thousands of varieties of thorns, varieties of twigs and color, and everything is there, variety. How these varieties are coming? The Vedanta replies, from the absolute truth, varieties. Parasya shakti avividhaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana balakriya cha. The supreme absolute truth has got so many varieties of energies. For each and every variety, particular, finer craftsmanship, there is different energy. They are working. Just like we require to present some varieties, a specialist, so Krishna himself has got all the special varieties of energy, and they are working in such a nice way as svabhaviki. He hasn't got to learn it. Svabhaviki. Svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. That's it. What is Prabhupada saying? In Bhishma's case, there's a variety. And he said, raso vaisa. Krishna has unlimited varieties of relationships, of loving relationships. Bhishma had a particular relationship of chivalry. Bhishma, when he was looking at Krishna, Prabhupada says, he was not looking at Krishna with flute. He was looking at Krishna with broken chariot wheel. This was the form that Bhishma had in his mind when he left this world. When he left and he went back, and we talked about it before, we explained, and we'll read about it in coming verses, that the devotees worship the particular form of the Lord, and by their worship, when they achieve Vaikuntha, by their method of worship, they get a particular form, and the Lord has a particular form by their method of worship, which the Lord accepts simply to fulfill their desire of that particular form of worship. Therefore, in Vaikuntha, there's so many varieties of forms. Not only does the Lord manifest different varieties of forms, but the devotees, they also attain a particular form. And as Sanatana Goswami says, the form which they worshipped before achieving perfection in their worship, that form they achieve when they go to Vaikuntha. That is the form that they take. And Gopakumara will explain that state, therefore, and as we also talked about, sometimes they may manifest one form, sometimes they may manifest a particular form according to the circumstance which is pleasing to the Lord. Sometimes they change their forms. Sometimes, as Gopa Kumar will explain later, they are attracted to different forms. Sometimes they have no particular form they're attracted to. And because they had no particular form they were attracted to before achieving Vaikuntha, they actually begin to, they worship many different forms because all those forms are attracted to them. Some of them are attracted to one, two, three, four forms. And the Lord manifests those forms in response to their particular attraction that they have for the form of the Lord. Raso vai sa, which is, there's unlimited variety. And to not include the varieties of these forms, the varieties of these rasas, the varieties of these relationships the devotees have, to not include them in this description in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when in itself would be, well, let's put it this way. Sanatana Goswami, he's given the opportunity for everyone to find what they're looking for. And, you know, just like, you know, if you go into a big bazaar and there's so many shops and one shop is selling this, one shop selling that, you know, somebody may be looking for something in a particular shop and, you know, somebody may be particularly attracted to something at another shop, but they may speak about all these different types of shops. And the same thing is Sanatana Goswami is presenting all these different types of destinations that one can achieve in pure devotional service. But of course, he doesn't stop there. And if anybody has the heart similar to the heart of Gopakumara, they won't be satisfied. And that's what is going to be explained to Gopakumara in Vaikuntha. Because for now, for the next 100 verses, Narada Muni is going to reveal how Krishna manifests himself in these different forms in Vaikuntha to his pure devotees. And then after, and I'm going to read a couple of verses, just a couple of verses which are the essence of these next 100 verses. I picked them. I'm going to, and I'll, let me read them now before I go on to the part where Narada Muni is going to sort of like indicate, okay, now you've heard all this, Gopakumara. And Gopakumara, and he said, now I'm going to tell you something. If I go there, then I won't read these verses. Let me read these verses first. So these verses, just a couple of them. It's this chapter, beginning with text 188. The servants of the Lord's incarnations achieve the greatest happiness in the loving services they prefer, each according to his own mood. Commentary. Since Krishna Dev is the boundless ocean of all super excellent glories, why doesn't every devotee serve him and him alone to obtain the highest possible happiness? This is the question. The answer is that every Vaishnava, no matter what form of Vishnu he worships, achieves a special individual happiness suited exactly to his own attitude. And this completely fulfills his heart's desires. And the Supreme Lord's pure servants know such perfect satisfaction, so they all attain the ultimate limit of happiness available in their own rasas. The next verse. According to the way one worships, the Lord awards different results. One who thus reaches the goal he has pursued never feels discontent. This is Narada Muni to Gopakumar. Their confidential discussion on the side. He's telling him all about Vaikuntha. He's telling him all about the very unique way the Lord reciprocates with devotees who have a particular form of love. According to the way one worships, the Lord awards different results. One who thus reaches the goal he has pursued never feels discontent. Commentary. Personality of Godhead knows everything there is to know. He's almost the most merciful giver of charity. Why then doesn't he give the same supreme happiness to all his devotees? It is because what he gives them depends on their expressed desires. Then aren't the devotees dissatisfied who receive happiness that is relatively less? No. Then aren't the devotees dissatisfied who receive happiness that is relatively less? No. When the Supreme Lord reciprocates the love of any of his pure devotees, the devotee is never left feeling incomplete because everything the devotee wanted, the Lord provides. Now, of course, we also have to understand when hearing all this, we're talking about devotees who are coming from unlimited universes and unlimited times. And we're not just talking about, you know, this universe, unlimited forms, but we also have to take into consideration the great fortune of those who have actually gotten the opportunity to associate with devotees who are in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has recently appeared with his very confidential associates, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, such as Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya came, as Rupa Goswami explains, Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is the most munificent incarnation because he came to distribute what no other incarnation of the Lord had ever distributed before, pure ecstatic love of Godhead. Yuga Dharma Pravatayama Naima Sankirtam Chara Bhavi Bhakti Diya Nachimu Bhavan. In the mood of the residents of Vraj, of Goloka Vrindavan, according to these different moods, Lord Chaitanya came to distribute these moods of ecstatic love of Godhead in the mood of the devotees only recently, 500 years ago, which is, and considering, you know, the great fortune that we have to have come in contact with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to this particular, who comes once in a day of Brahma, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he comes at a particular time, and he explains why he comes. The reason why he comes is because he hasn't seen the kind of ecstatic love of Godhead. He's seen everybody prior to that appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He specifically states in Chaitanya Charitamrita, everyone is worshiping me in awe and reverence. And this worship of awe and reverence, that everyone is worshiping me, I want to come and I want to give an opportunity for everyone to understand what is the highest, what is most pleasing, what I am most pleased by. And I want to teach these ecstatic moods of loving devotional service myself. And I want to come and teach by my own example. Because without an example, how can anyone possibly know if there's no example? And therefore, if I don't teach by an example, then obviously, then it would be very, very difficult for others to know about this. So why did Lord Chaitanya come? He came to teach by his example. What did he come to teach? The mood of the devotee who experiences the highest ecstasy of ecstatic love of God, experiences Mahabhava. Of course, Mahabhava, and this is what's going to be talked about by Narada Muni at the end of this chapter. No, not at the end of this chapter. At the end of his conversation with Gopakumar, he's going to speak about there's a rare type of love that and which I can't even speak about. I don't have the qualification to speak about, which he does, but he's speaking out of his humility, but which cannot be talked about here. And it can't be talked about here because nobody here will understand it. And but I if I speak softly and I just tell you a little bit about this kind of ecstatic love, this mood of Mahabhava, which is very, very rare. Of course, Radharani, Radharani experiences Madan Mahabhava, only Radharani. But the gopis, they can experience Mahabhava, which is the highest level of, it's beyond prem. There's prem, there's sneha, there's man, there's different levels, anurag, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. All these are different ecstasies beyond prem of ecstatic love of God. And only the gopis experience this, Mahabhava. And there are a few other associates of the Lord who can experience this Mahabhava, which is such as like Subal and Sridham, because they're Priyanamasakas. And Gopakumar is from the family of Sridham. And most likely, he's the Priyanamasaka. Most likely. and what Narada Muni is going to tell him, well, is that there is this place, after telling him all this about Vaikuntha, all these rasas, all these different relationships, the Lord's reciprocal relationships in Vaikuntha. And I didn't read all the verses I wanted to read, but now I'm getting into these special verses that he's going to say at the end of the conversation. And we're specifically going to hear how Gopakumar reacts to it. It's very, very important to take note, because this illustrates that even if one hears about all of these and sees experiences, if one has a particular desire in the heart for or an aspiration within the heart, such as Gopakumar had, there'll be some dissatisfaction. But it's not, and as we said many times before, it is not a mundane material satisfaction. It is a completely spiritual dissatisfaction. And this spiritual dissatisfaction is experienced to its highest degree in Goloka. To its highest degree. Gopakumar is now just simply getting, he's getting the experience of this spiritual dissatisfaction. And something that very, very interesting that Gopakumar is going to reveal and Sanatana Goswami is going to reveal, that some people, and I've spoken about this before, some people are going to have a difficult time relating dissatisfaction, pain, misery, highest? I don't know. They become even a little fearful. That's
You're telling me to go? Yeah, I'd rather hear about happiness, joy, ecstasy, exhilaration, big smiles, no tears. Some may not be ready for it. But Gopakumar is already tasting some dissatisfaction in Vaikuntha. He's tasting it. And Narada Muni, after describing all this, is going to tell him, look, you've got something. You've got something. Now, I want to read those verses because they're particularly very revealing. I'm jumping ahead 100 verses, forgive me. I'm jumping ahead because we should read these verses and we should read the commentaries. Some of the commentaries are very long, pages long. We should read it. We should hear it. We should hear the greatness of Lord Narayan, and we should hear the greatness of his pastimes in Vaikuntha and beyond. But we're going to see, by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami, by the mercy of Narada Muni, which he's going to have Gopakumar, we're going to see as he reveals something very special in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha. We're not even in Dwarka yet. We're still in Vaikuntha. Why? Because Narada Muni sees there's something in Gopakumara that will enable him to understand this. So I'm going to read a few verses. Where are they? They're towards the end. We said they're towards the end of Narada Muni's discussion with Gopakumar, which ends in verse 235. This is verse 223. Pure devotees, after all, think that seeing the Lord constantly attaining bliss from taking part in his pastimes and relishing subsequent pleasures are the fruit of devotional service and its root as well. Commentary: achieving the perfection of prema is only the beginning of Vaikuntha life. After that, a liberated devotee makes further advancement, receiving special individual mercy from the Lord by being allowed to serve him in person and to enjoy in other ways the nectar of devotion. Text 24. Those devotees cannot tolerate even a moment's delay in obtaining that fruit, nor can the Lord neglect such devotees for even a moment. Thus, all the other fruits of desires are paltry, even liberation. From the personality of Godhead, they are easily obtained, but his pure devotional service is not. And then this going to a very common verse we oftentimes quote from the Bhagavatam. By the mercy of pure devotional service, the personality of Godhead, the supreme controller, becomes subordinate to his devotees. This, in effect, deprives him of independence. So pure devotional service he rarely bestows. The commentary in that verse describes that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, where it says that Yudhisthira Maharaj, you are very fortunate because the supreme personality of Godhead becomes is not only your friend, the head of your family, not only is he the Supreme Lord, but he's become your servant. I can see you're very fortunate, because the Supreme Lord will give one liberation very easily, but he doesn't give pure devotional service like you have so easily, because when he gives pure devotional service, he gives himself. So this verse is saying, essence explaining this same point. The Lord gives up his own, he thus in effect deprives him of independence, so it's pure devotional service he rarely bestows. In my opinion, the Lord's coming under the control of his dear most servants creates no unhappiness or fault of any kind. Rather, it creates joy and broadcasts such glorious qualities of the Lord as his affectionate concern for his devotees. The way the chief of expert heroes voluntarily submits to his devotees is supremely dear and attractive, because it contradicts his self-satisfaction and certain other of his natural qualities. It is the ultimate perfection of Godhead. To explain this, I've already talked about this once before. It was in the pastime of Mother Jasoda, where Krishna, he wanted to play, and that was his desire. And in order to facilitate his desire, his Satya Sankalpa Shakti manifested there in order to make Mother Jasoda's rope 2 inches too short so that he could continue to play and so he won't be bound up. But what happened is, because of Mother Jasoda's hard labor, because of her parishrama, and because of her love, the special kind of love, Krishna's heart melted, his Kripa Shakti manifested, his mercy manifested in his heart. And when his mercy manifested in his heart, then the Satya Sankalpa Shakti went away, and he was defeated by the love of Mother Jasoda. And even though he wanted to play, he was defeated. He was bound up. He had a desire to play. Mother Jasoda said, "No, you can't play. It's time for you to be punished." Mother Jasoda won. And therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in the competition between the devotee and the Lord, we sometimes find that the Lord's, the devotee's will prevail upon the Lord. And the Lord loses. He loses. Now, who does he lose to? So this was the point is being made here. The way the chief of expert heroes voluntarily submits to his devotees is supremely dear and attractive, because it contradicts his self-satisfaction and certain other of his natural qualities. It is the ultimate perfection of Godhood. In the final maturity of devotional service and pure love, sometimes a unique treasure appears. Mahabhava, the highest stage of ecstasy. With the vision of truth, one sees it in the kingdom of the greatest delight, where it dances exuberantly upon the ramparts. In the commentary, this says, in Mahabhava, the most rare experience, one suffers the torment of burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. From the purely spiritual point of view, this so-called suffering is actually the most sublime ecstasy. Next verse. And yet the peculiar nature of Mahabhava is that outwardly it shows the signs of terrible distress, sorrow, and pain. And although these signs are but external, the Lord can never tolerate seeing such a state in his most beloved devotees. In other words, like if you remember before when Balaram was saying, Krishna, look at your mother, look at your father, look at your friends, look at the cowherd girls. Can't you see? There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can tell them that will relieve their pain. Look how much they're suffering. I can't tell them that, you know, anything. They're not ordinary devotees. They're not devotees in Vaikuntha. Nothing I can tell them. You look, my dear brother, how much they're suffering. So Balaram is telling this to Krishna as he's wrapped in the coils. Of course, Krishna, seeing their pain, you know, he wants to, he can't, he says, so here, yet the peculiar nature of Mahabhava is that outwardly it shows the signs of terrible distress, sorrow, and pain, and all these signs are but external. The Lord can never tolerate seeing such a state in his most beloved devotees. When persons addicted to mundane vision see the bewildering symptoms of ecstasy born from pure love of God, they ridicule the devotees. Because such mundane persons have no desire to achieve devotional service, the Supreme Lord withholds from them his prema bhakti. I'll give this short commentary. It's for the good of foolish people that the personality of Godhead doesn't grant them prema bhakti. Sometimes it's hidden. Sometimes it's like in the Bhagavatam, it's also hidden. He hides. Because why? And now Sanatana Goswami is going to explain why it's hidden. It is for the good of foolish people that the personality of Godhead doesn't grant them prema bhakti. For lack of spiritual vision, materialists cannot begin to appreciate what pure love of God is. So when Vaishnavas show symptoms of the ecstasies of prema, crying out loud and appearing as if in great pain, materialists, not at all attracted to sharing these feelings, simply laugh at the devotees. The external appearance of pure love of God is certainly bewildering to ordinary people. So they cannot decide whether they are seeing great suffering or great pleasure. And because the Supreme Lord has unlimited compassion for every living entity, he refrains from introducing the mysteries of pure devotional service to those who are unprepared. Nice commentary. It's more. Next verse. Devotional service endowed with prema is very rarely achieved. In contrast, the enjoyments of heaven are easy to obtain, and so too is freedom from material existence. People rarely, if ever, find a Chintamani gem. They usually find only glass or sometimes gold. Only once in a while does the Supreme Lord give bhakti. Only once in a while does the Supreme Lord give bhakti. And only to a rare, intelligent person who desires only that, indifferent to the opinions of the world. We are not able, Narada Muni still says, we are not able to describe completely this special ecstatic state, nor is it proper for us to do so. And even if the most perfect of scriptures, those dedicated to promoting devotional service, were to describe it in detail, the effect on ignorant people would be contrary. Very nice commentary. I will read it. Very nice. Gopakumara wants to learn more from Narada Muni about the special kind of ecstasy that comes from mature love of God. But here, Narada asserts that he is unqualified to explain it. Prema bhakti is indeed beyond the reach of anyone's mind and words. Only devotees who have directly perceived it can understand it. Before a general audience, then, it is inappropriate to say very much about the external symptoms of prema. Thus, Srimad Bhagavatam and other bhakti shastras avoid revealing too much. The devotional scriptures anticipate that after reading that prema is like the fire of universal annihilation multiplied millions of times. People will be afraid to cultivate Prema Bhakti. Srila Sridhar Swami, in his comments on Srimad Bhagavatam, encourages neophyte readers by portraying the symptoms of Prema Bhakti described therein as signs of happiness, not unhappiness. For example, one verse in the 11th canto, 11-40, says about the devotee who has achieved Prema. And then by chanting, the verse is, by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Lord. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. Sridhar Swami tactfully explains that he laughs very loudly or cries or shouts means that the devotee jokingly rebukes the Lord. You have been neglecting me all this time. And this is how Sridhar Swami explains it. In his ecstasy, he's just saying, he's rebuking the Lord, chastising him. You've been neglecting me all of this time. When the supreme ecstasy of prema in separation appears outwardly like supreme distress, there's nothing wrong with this except that persons lacking spiritual knowledge will misunderstand devotional service to be a miserable experience and will have nothing to do with it. They will turn instead to impersonal gyan to achieve liberation, or to materialistic karma to fulfill their desires for happiness. Rather than listen to the perfect authorities on bhakti, they will hear from ordinary, ignorant men. And then 235, which is the last verse. Persons who serve the transcendental taste of this ecstasy can realize its super excellence and sweetness, since you belong to the place where Mahabhava is known. Very soon, you will surely understand it by the mercy of the Lord. And then what does Gopa Kumara say in response to Narada Muni's statement? These words of Narada greatly increased my anxious eagerness to see the lotus feet of Sri Gopal, my worshipable Lord. Quickly, a powerful storm-like urge also arose in me, a hope to achieve the kind of ecstasy that Narada had just described. Seeing me cast by this hope and eagerness into an ocean of sorrow, Narada consolingly spoke. And then he's going to console him. Seeing that now Gopa Kumara again, thrown into sorrow. I want it. I don't have it. It's not here. Please. Please. And then now Narada Muni is going to tell him, there's a place. But still, he's going to talk about Ayodhya and Dwarka. He's already talked about, said there's a place. He said, mentioned that there's a place, Raj, but now he's going to talk about Ayodhya and Dwarka. Why? Because there are many, many who actually are attached to the worship of Lord Ram. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Marai Gupta. Right? That was, you know, Lord Chaitanya tried to get him to give it up, and then Lord Chaitanya glorified. Fortunate is that person who doesn't give up his worshipful Lord. And fortunate is that person who's dragged by the hair by his worshipful Lord. You know, this is Lord Chaitanya recognized in Marai Gupta, it was not possible for him to give it up. And even though he was you know, in this association of Lord Chaitanya. So now he's going to talk about, after all this, he's going to talk about Ayodhya, he's going to talk about Dwarka, and then in Dwarka, in the house of Uddhava, Narada is going to let go. And Uddhava both, they're going to let go. Because they can see that Gopal Kumar, this is what he's ready. He's ready to endure any form of suffering, any form of pain, any type of separation from his worshipful Lord. Doesn't make any difference. The kind of pain, suffering he's experienced in Vaikuntha up until now, before Vaikuntha, beyond Vaikuntha, it's just, I'm ready. I'm ready. And therefore, he will be revealed that kind of pain and suffering is an experience for himself, is the highest form of ecstasy. And the Lord, of course, and Gopal Kumar, as Sarupa, will explain this all to the Mathura Brahman, that the Lord, he never leaves Vrindavan. He only wants to see this ecstasy in his devotees, and therefore he puts them into this pain, apparent pain, suffering, and separation. And even when it appears that the Lord is leaving, he's leaving, but he's leaving as Vasudev Krishna. And even as Vasudev Krishna, sometimes as Vasudev Krishna, he'll experience, as Vasudev Krishna, he'll experience the pain of separation to show just how much Krishna has this affection towards those devotees who know nothing but this form of love for him. This is what Gopal Kumar will hear about in Dwarka. But still, we're in Vaikuntha. And for the next 100 verses, get ready to hear. Get ready to hear the glories of pure devotional service in its unlimited forms. Because this is what Gopal Kumar, through the words that he heard from Narada Muni, is now going to explain, because he's doing the same thing to the Mathura Brahman as Narada Muni did to him. This is it. He's doing the same thing to the Mathura Brahman. He's because the Mathura Brahman is hearing from Gopal Kumar. Now he's that resident of the spiritual world, but he's making the Mathura Brahman again come to this type of hankering, realization, lamentation. He's giving him and making him fully qualified, and which we'll see is what the Mathura Brahman will get when Gopal Kumar, you know, returns to Goloka as Sarupa and brings the Mathura Brahman, who's then referred to as Janashama, and is welcomed back in Goloka Vrindavan. So there's a lot to be learned from all of this. And I'll stop here, and we'll continue. I'm not going to chant. If I didn't give class on Saturday, and today's Monday, and it's already 7 o'clock. So I've been speaking for over an hour. So I'm going to try to save my voice. And I'll end here. And we will resume on Saturday. And we'll have class on Wednesday in Russian, wherever we are in the Russian-speaking section. So we'll end. Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudeva Govardhana.
Hare Rama.